It seems that everywhere you turn, sex scandals in the news, sex scandals in the church. How are we, as God's people, to respond?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, so I'm sitting at the airport in Detroit. I'm getting ready to fly home. Last night, early evening, late afternoon, met someone that had been in one of my seminary classes. We were chatting a little bit. While I'm sitting there at the airport, CNN News is playing on the screen there, and they're talking about sex scandal with Anthony Weiner and sex scandal with the mayor of San Diego and going back to this sex scandal with Elliot Spitzer and so on and so forth. And then people contacting me through the weekend. Have you heard what Archbishop Desmond Tutu said about he'd rather be in hell than in a homophobic heaven? And so, friends, we are going to talk about sexual purity today on The Line of Fire. I don't think this is something that any of us can avoid talking about. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast. 866-348-7884. I'd love to get your perspective. 866-34-TRUTH. And I want to put out a number of different things to you. The purpose of the show is not to make fun of those who have fallen. The purpose of this show is not to be the Christian equivalent of a Hollywood gossip column. The purpose of this broadcast is to help us live lives well-pleasing to the Lord. Let me try to lay things out a certain way to help us get some understanding about what we are really up against in our society today. What we hear about with politicians, what we hear about with Christian leaders falling, what we hear about with statistics, it's really just the tip of the iceberg, because there is a massive, pervasive, deep problem of hypersexualization in our society. And my simple premise is this: there is an all-out bombardment against us. The attack against us has massively increased, but there has not been adequate vigilance and response on our side. In other words, it's almost as if, just in a physical warfare type of picture, we are still using guns when those coming against us are coming with tanks, that we have not adjusted our strategy, our attitude accordingly. These are different days, friends. These are different days. These are days now when a shocking percentage of people use their cell phones for what's called sexting. These are days when you can be blasted via email and media day and night with profane and ungodly and unclean things. And I want to talk about resources we want to make available to you today to help you, to strengthen you. And my goal, as is common on this broadcast, is to sound the alarm in a practical way, to sound the alarm in a way that is not one of panic, not one of fear, not one of despair, but rather to say we're living in urgent, critical, difficult times. The onslaught is unprecedented. No generation ever in human history has had to deal with this level of sexual onslaught in so many different ways. And we must respond accordingly. The good news is, in Jesus we are overcomers. The good news is, in Him we've died to sin and we don't have to live in it. The good news is, Jesus really does transform and liberate.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are talking about sexual purity today on The Line of Fire. We are talking about the scandals taking place all around us. We hear about it in the media, scandals among politicians. I saw a trailer for a forthcoming reality TV show, Preachers in L.A., and from the trailer, again, we're trying to get some of these folks to join me on the air and talk about these things. But from the trailer, it seems as if having kids out of wedlock and being a big-time preacher kind of go hand in hand for some. So how do we deal with these things? How do we respond? What is a righteous approach? 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to talk to you plainly about sexual purity for a moment. It's easy for us to look at someone like Anthony Weiner and the absurd things with the screen name Carlos Danger and what's happened to him and think, I'd never do something like that. Or you read about a scandal with Governor Elliot Spitzer and prostitutes and say, I'd never do anything like that. But the moment we think that we are exempt, the moment we think it can't happen to me, the moment we think I would never engage in that type of behavior, at that moment we open ourselves up because we must be vigilant. These are fellow human beings. In fact, every person who's ever committed a crime, every person who's ever done a perverse thing, every person who's ever sinned in any way, they've had that in common with each of us. They were fellow human beings. There's a real devil out there. There's access to stuff just with a click of the mouse that a six-year-old can find that when I was growing up, I didn't even know existed as a teenager. There's access to stuff that's just coming our way in 1,000 different forms, and we don't need to be paranoid about it, but we need to be vigilant. We need to recognize this could happen to me, and not to have this thing, oh, no. There go I, but by the grace of God. No, but to be sober, to say, okay, I can't play games. If it's poison, I don't cut it back. I cut it out. I remove it. Don't play games with something that's displeasing to God. Don't play games with something that's destructive. Don't play games with something that is ultimately shameful. Live with a clean conscience before God and man. Live in such a way that if NSA could follow your emails and follow your texts and follow your conversations over a one-month period and post them publicly, you'd have nothing to be ashamed of. Let's even take it one step further. Let's seek to purify our hearts and minds, our thought life by the Word, by the Spirit, by communion with God, by removing the trash and the junk, so that people could actually read our minds and say, that person really loves the Lord. In ourselves, it's impossible. With His help and grace, we can be transformed. And when we fall short, we're quick to repent, we're quick to be washed and cleansed, we're quick to put a distance between ourselves and that which is unclean and destructive, and we're quick to live in a way that pleases the Lord. Friends, it is a unique time to be sober and to be vigilant. Listen to Anthony Weiner. Again, this is not to pile on him or mock him as the media is doing. I just want you to hear what he had to say publicly as he acknowledges some of his recent failings.
These things that I did were wrong. This behavior that I did was problematic, to say the least, destructive, to say the most. There is no question that what I did was wrong. Let me just reiterate to my wife how sorry I am that I did these things, and how sorry I am to the people that got these messages for any inconvenience or embarrassment they've caused.
He takes it on the chin. What I did is wrong, and what I did is at worst destructive. Okay, then step down, man. Do yourself a favor and do your family a favor. Step down. Get out of the public eye. There are obviously some deep issues. God would love to help you with those issues if you humble yourself before Him and look for help. Friends, every one of us is defective in one way or another. Every one of us is flawed in one way or another. Every one of us needs God's mercy or grace in one way or another. And rather than just life going on and the show must go on, sometimes we need to step back and get help. And to the extent something is publicly known, to that extent, it's going to take a while to get it publicly resolved. I believe if Anthony Weiner came back as a changed man and his track record was pristine, pure, and he was the most accountable public figure in America, and he and his wife were clearly in a healthy and solid marriage, and there was, I haven't followed his career much, but let's just say there was a genuine, demonstrable humility about him, I believe he'd be embraced. I'm speaking to him, but I'm speaking to others. I know that you may be in a position where if you come clean, it'll hurt your ministry. If you come clean, it could potentially hurt your marriage. But you know, that's where you need to make things right. That's where you need to fix things. And if you don't fix them there, you're ultimately going to hurt everyone around you and dishonor the Lord. You know, just this morning, today, getting emails, and then just I'll quickly look in the junk folder, and maybe first thing of the day, there are 20 or 30 emails in the junk folder. So I just glanced through just to make sure there was nothing from someone that I'm not normally in contact with that went in the junk folder instead of into my regular email. And, you know, just glance, and just, you know, some webcam with some girl here or something, you know, you just see what the titles are and delete them all. But you think, man, this stuff is knocking at people's doors. It's a different day that we live in. It's a different day than we live in. You're watching some sports event with the family, and next thing there's some commercial about pills to take for erectile dysfunction, and it gets into details, and no one even bats an eyelash. Like, oh, whatever. They don't even realize. And then I've been watching a sports event, just chilling one night, maybe doing some writing and taking a little break and watching something, and some commercial comes on, and it could be for some heterosexual dating thing or some homosexual dating thing. I think, what in the world? I'm not just talking about some lovely ad. You got to turn away from the thing immediately, and then the homosexual one is wrong, period. But this is all around us. We can't just be casual, kind of coast our way through. It's not going to work. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me go to the phones. Raphael in Woodbridge. Well, we lost Raphael already. Let's go to Boston. Peter in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, God bless you, Dr. Brown. It's a joy to be on your program once again.
Thank you.
Yes, I called about 3 months ago regarding a scenario that happened at the church that I used to go to, where I had that dream, the pastor versus the worship leader, and I felt so bad. But what is your take on that? If there's no, it's a small church, but in addition to that, there's no, like, you know, deacon board, and the person, like, you know, the founder of the church, is overseer, like, you know, it goes different places, so there's nobody really on top of that leadership, of that leader.
Right, so if you have a situation, I don't remember the precise situation that you described, but Peter, if you have a situation where you have an unaccountable leader, meaning there is not a denomination they're part of, meaning there is not a leadership team that they're submitted to, meaning that they're not outside local leaders that they're submitted to. If you have a situation like that, and let's say the person is living in sexual immorality, let's say the pastor is involved in an adulterous affair with someone else in the congregation,
right,
and you obviously you go to that person and you appeal to them to step down and to get help and to repent because you know the situation. If they won't, because you don't have anyone else to appeal to, then what you have to do is, if they won't repent and step down, then you just have to leave. You can't make it your vendetta to try to get the person removed, you know, and try to spread word to everyone in the church, because then it becomes more of a bloody mess, and you get your hands defiled in the process. It may be appropriate to speak to a senior, respected leader in the city and to say, hey, I was part of this church, and thus and such is going on, but I know you can't receive an accusation against an elder based on one witness, so would you kindly look into this? And beyond that, you have to pray for mercy for the person. But best thing is, don't make it a long-term fight. You move on. You move on, and you pray for repentance and restoration in that person's life. All right, thanks for the call. We come back. Let's talk about what the Pope said as well. There's some controversy surrounding that.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You say, well, Billy, what is repentance? Repentance means that you acknowledge that you failed God, that you've sinned against God, and you're willing to renounce your sins. You're willing to give up your sins. And it means something else. It means that by faith you must receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. You must come to the foot of the cross and by an act of your will, choose Christ.
I'll tell you, we don't hear a lot of clear preaching from our national leaders urging people to repent and turn from sin. At a time when we need to be sounding the alarm like never before in America, Instead, you know what's happening? To a great, great extent, we're just putting on soothing, comforting music and just wanting everyone to know how good God is and how much He loves them and how special they are in His sight. Oh, there's some truth in that message. Underscore the word some, but there is the rest of the message, which is that sin is destructive and that God hates it, and that He offers us a new life through repentance and faith in Jesus. That's what we need to be declaring. If the world hates us, it hates us. Oh, we also need to clean up our own act so we can declare it better. Listen, I recognize I'm in the same boat as everyone else. In other words, we need God's mercy. We need God's grace. I'm not throwing stones at those who fell and mocking them. I'm saying we all need to take heed. We all need to search our hearts. We all need to look at the habits of our lives. 866-348-7884. Before I go to the phones and cover some other issues of real importance and play some more clips for you, over the weekend I was sent a link from a representative of John MacArthur's ministry responding to some of the articles I've written where I've urged Pastor MacArthur, let's have dialogue about our differences over the gifts and power of the Spirit today and what I feel are extreme statements he has made against charismatic brothers and sisters while standing with him, wanting to clean up junk in the charismatic movement, things that are said and done in the name of the Spirit which bring reproach to the Lord. And the response was written in a certain style. Let's just say it's different than I would write it. And I wrote my own response. I prayed and considered over the weekend how to respond. And I wrote my response, time to talk, not fight. A response to John MacArthur's ministry. Time to talk, not fight. A response to John MacArthur's ministry. You can read it by going to askdrbrown.org and clicking on the latest article. Again, my goal is constructive dialogue, not a battle. My goal is to advance truth and the work of the Spirit and the work of the unity of the body based on Scripture. That's my goal. That's my heart. 866-348-7884. Dottie in Clark, New Jersey, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello. Hello. How are you? First I wanted to say, I know you talked about the sinners, and just to remind people that God hates sin, but He loves the sinner. And we need to get that message out to the sinner that it's not that God hates you because he loves you, but he hates the sin that we perform daily. But I just wanted to bring to mind the scripture. It's in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and it talks about, know this, that in the last days, these are perilous times that we have come up against, and that men will be lovers of themselves and covetous and boastful and proud and all of those things. And I just wanted to, you can expound on it, because that's what's happening in this world now. You know, people are so busy about themselves and whatever they can do to please themselves. We're pleasers. We're men are men pleasers and self pleasers. And that has just gone above and beyond, because God has created us to help each other, to be a help of each other. And
you know, Dottie, let me just jump in and say this. When I was in Toledo, Ohio over the weekend and flew into Detroit, was in Toledo, and there in Toledo, one of our grads who's a missionary to China was there. She was back home for a little while, came to the meetings, and I was asking her how it was being back in the States, and she said, it's rough. It's rough being back in the States. There was a certain Christian community that they lived in together there in China. But she also said this, that when she's sharing the gospel with college age Chinese students and she's talking to them about Jesus, they say to her, listen, if I follow Jesus, it could cost me my career. If I follow Jesus, my family could put me out. And she said the level of commitment they have when they come to faith is so different than the level of commitment we normally have here in America. And I was thinking like this, if let's say you're in the war, and you have to work out every day and be in top physical shape, and you're dodging bullets, and you have to be in good enough condition to wear 70 pounds of body armor and weaponry and so on. Well, that's one thing. But when you come home and have 6 months off, it's going to be difficult to stay in the same shape as when you're on the battlefield. And A.W. Tozer said many years ago that the evangelical world has concluded that this is a playground rather than a battleground. And of course, it's terribly destructive.
Well, of course, I would say this is a battle, but the Lord says the battle is not ours. It is His. And if we, it comes back to the Word. The Word. Everyone doesn't know the Word of God. Everyone's not going to live the Word of God. Everyone's not going to be saved. But those that are rooted and grounded in the Word, we just have to profess and proclaim. And we don't have to do it by saying words. We have to do it, and we can do it by living the life that Christ has given us to live.
And Dottie, here's the thing. Because it is a battleground, we need to be equipped in the Word. Absolutely right. And we can't just go around ignorantly. All right, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. By the way, 2 Timothy 3 applied in Timothy's day all the more today. The most practical book I've ever written to help you overcome sin, to help you live a life free from condemnation, empowered by God's grace to live a holy life, is my book, Go and Sin No More. When Bill Bright wrote the foreword for it some years back, while he was still here with us, I was humbled when he said it's magnificent. It's one of those rare, life-changing books. It was out of print for some years. We finally got it back in print this year. And what I want to do is this. The book, which is almost 300 pages, and every page you'll find life-changing, full of scriptural truth. The book plus a teaching series I have, over 10 hours of teaching, going through the contents of this book in a practical way on a CD for your computer MP3 player. Together, they're valued at, well over $30. Yours for gift of any size. That's how committed I am to get the book and the teaching series in your hands. Your gift of any size. 1-800-278-9978. Take advantage of this. This is a book that will change your life along with the teaching series. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. 1-800-278-9978. Let's get equipped. Let's make a difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on the line of fire, 866-348-7884. It is my delight to be on the air with you today on the line of fire. As we talk about sexual purity, as we talk about holiness, as we talk about being overcomers, there's no reason why any of us have to be destroyed by sin. There's no reason why any of us have to be casualties to the enemy. There's no reason why any of us have to be castaways. 866-348-7884. You know, the mayor in San Diego now, Bob Filner, says he's going to undergo therapy and stepping down for 2 weeks to undergo therapy to get to the root of some of his problems, the way he's treated other women. Joey, get clip number five ready. When I see these people, political leaders, being exposed, when I see church leaders being exposed, when I see ever-increasing corruption and immorality around us, you know, this is the day and age when people get famous by leaking sex tapes about themselves. I mean, who can imagine this? Something that would have disgraced a person for life is now their pathway to fame. I remember reading some story about some famous Playboy bunny, and she was part of a reality TV show. Whatever the name of the thing was, obviously I was not a watcher of that show. So she had obviously posed naked many times, and now, oh no, a sex tape about her has been released. Like, whoa, hang on. So she didn't want the sex tape released, but she poses naked, and that's fine. And I thought, what kind of confusion and nonsense is this? But when I see all this happening, I say to myself, be vigilant, man. Be vigilant. There's a lot of junk out there. Be vigilant. The enemy is coming against us in ways that he's never come against any generation because of the technology and the things that we have available. According to a report on CNN.com, sexting, so using phone, texting by phone with sexual messages and images, sexting between adults, both married and single, is on the rise. Nearly one in five adults in the U.S. says they use their smartphones for sexting, sharing explicit photos or text messages with others, says Lookout Mobile Security, which sponsored the Harris Interactive Poll of 2,097 adults. The biggest age groups for sexting are 18 to 34-year-old men, 32%, and 35 to 44-year-old women, 25%. Wow. As they say, who would have thunk it? All right, let's listen to the mayor of San Diego.
I am responsible for my conduct. And I must take responsibility for my conduct by taking action so that such conduct does not ever happen again. So on beginning on August 5th, I will be entering a behavior counseling clinic to undergo 2 weeks of intensive therapy to begin the process of addressing my behavior. This intensive counseling will just be the first step in what will be a continuing program that will involve ongoing regular counseling. I must become a better person.
All right, we want to pray for him to really come to meet the Lord and encounter the Lord and truly be a changed person. And we want to say to everyone struggling, it's more important you get right with God and you get help. It's more important you get right with God and you get help than you go on with public office or public ministry. There are things that are more important. Back with your calls, and we will get to some statements by the Pope as well.
God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us. 866-348-7884. We're talking about increased vigilance. We're talking about sexual purity. We're talking about not having the mentality that we're playing a game when we're actually in a war. What we see with public figures being exposed is just the tip of the iceberg. For everyone that's exposed, God knows how many are not. We know there are constant scandals among church leaders, one reason that the world does not respect the church adequately. Many of us, if we'd be honest, would say there's onslaught and attack that's come against us in greater ways over the years because of all of the junk that's out there. So we've had to be more vigilant and more open to God and more accountable with others. So this is not a time to be throwing stones. It's a time to be saying, okay, should I be playing games with certain things in my life? Should I be opening the door to certain influences? Perhaps if I close the door with the little things, it will not lead to the big things. 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. Our friend Sarah in Brooklyn, nice to hear from you.
Yes. Hello.
Hello, you're on the air, Sarah.
Yes. Could you help me? Do you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I don't want to mention the pastor's name. It's not appropriate. But I heard a most appreciating 1.5 hour about forgiveness. And it ran the gamut from mild behavior to very, very serious behavior. And the bottom line was forgive, be kind, to get that energy out of you. Now, we speak about Mr. Weiner and Stitcher. Devastating behavior. Now, how do I correlate this very awesome, brilliant given wisdom on and
these two people. Sarah, I'm having a hard time hearing you. Dwight, maybe you could just help Sarah with her connection there. I'm sorry, the call was cutting in and out. But let me say this. In Jesus, with repentance, there is forgiveness for anyone. There is forgiveness for anyone. Doesn't matter who they are, doesn't matter what they've done, doesn't matter how far they have fallen, there is forgiveness. And it's imperative that we as followers of Jesus extend forgiveness personally. Yes, it does help us, it does free us, and it does free others. Otherwise, we are in the chains of our own bitterness. And when we forgive others, it also helps them to be liberated. But this is what the gospel says, that because Jesus lives to make intercession for us, he can save us to the uttermost. He can save us from anything. If we could suddenly have everyone listening flood the phone lines with testimonies of what they've been delivered from, and it could just be one harmonious chorus that was, if everyone could sing their testimony, we would have a chorus of so many thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of voices. It would be unimaginable. And they'd be all saying, Jesus saved me, Jesus delivered me, Jesus freed me, Jesus cleansed me, all by the life and power of the Spirit. But to just try to mend our ways and make adjustments is like putting a Band-Aid on a cancer victim. And that, of course, will not and cannot work. Grace to you, Sarah. I know you've been in the Lord now for about the last year. So we wish you the blessing and smile of God. 866-348-7884. Christopher in Ronkonkoma on Long Island. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Michael Brown, good afternoon. God bless you. It's such a privilege and honor to hear somebody standing up for the true cause of Christ like you are, and with a balance and with the power of the Spirit. And I just want to say, we need more people like you, and we need more deliverance ministers for the body of Christ to be established in deliverance ministries again, because what's happening is that many people are in bondage to sexual bondage and to perversion, and they don't know how to be liberated. But if the church can offer the solution through deliverance, which is one of the keys, you know, casting out devils and repentance and restoration and the teaching of the word again, and true revival, that we can come to some solution. And I believe that's where, you know, the answer lies for the majority.
You know, deliverance is definitely part of it. In other words, we can define deliverance different ways, but what we mean is that people actually get enslaved. They actually find themselves enslaved to something, and they want to get free, and they don't know how. It's sometimes it's happened to us as believers. I mean, I was enslaved by drugs before I was saved, and I thought it was positive and good, you know, because my mind was twisted. Then when God began to convict me, he delivered me. But then we find ourselves sometimes enslaved to something, and we want to get free, but we've opened the door to it so much. We've allowed a habit to develop so deeply that what ends up happening is that we find ourselves enslaved and have to get set free. And that's where we need to be delivered. And if we humble ourselves before God, no matter what the situation is, whether it's a gambling addiction or a pornography addiction or some other type of addiction, whatever the thing is, if we'll humble ourselves before God and cry out to him for mercy to set us free, he will deliver. And then as we continue in the word and as with the Spirit's help, we get to the root of the issues in our lives and why we opened the door and why we were playing games and what else was going on, we can experience freedom. Jesus did say, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. And I'm with you that when we preach a gospel that seems powerless, we need to say something's wrong here. When it seems that everybody's bound by sin in our churches and struggling with addiction, something's wrong. That's not the way it's supposed to be. So we need repentance through the whole body. We need a fresh outpouring of the Spirit. We need a recovery of the preaching of the word where it's been lost. And out of that, transformation may come. So may we all be sober and alert and vigilant and walking in the fullness of the Spirit's life. Christopher, I appreciate the call and the kind words.
Thank you, sir.
God bless. Friends, there are plenty of people preaching the word, and there are plenty of people praying and crying out for revival and for the moving of God. The fact of the matter is, often people are preaching more of a superficial, lightweight gospel as opposed to a gospel that really changes, as opposed to a gospel that really transforms. You know, there's a saying, either the word will keep you from sin or sin will keep you from the word. And it's the same with prayer. I'm talking about really communing with God in prayer. Either prayer will keep you from the word or the word will keep you from prayer. So, bottom line is, we ourselves, if we're preaching, if we're teaching, if we're ministering, if we're not living right, we're either going to preach a superficial attack on the sins that we're living in, kind of, you know, a reverse way of dealing with what's going on in our conscience. We're condemned ourselves, so we're going to preach against this thing, but it's going to be in a superficial way. It's going to be in a harsh way. It's going to be in a way that doesn't help or deliver. Or we're going to stay away from the subject. But when our own consciences are clear, when our own consciences are pure, then in fact, we can preach and teach freely. I remember preaching and encouraging people to fast, but because I myself had not been fasting that day or that season, I couldn't call for it as strongly. But I remember when I was in the midst of a 21-day water fast that I could urge people to fast much more easily because I was doing it myself. So let's get our own acts clean. Let's get our own lives right. And to the extent we do that, we can call others, say, hey, there's freedom in Jesus. You don't have to live in that slime. You don't have to live in that junk. Come on, you're not a slave to lust. Come on, you're not a slave to those petty fleshly things. Step higher. Man of God, woman of God, step higher. That's what we need to do. That's how we need to live.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
God's calling for a life that's holy.
Holy.
No Christian should be ashamed to live it boldly.
Holy.
Holiness is beautiful. Holiness is beautiful. Jonathan Edwards said this, a true love of God must begin with a delight in his holiness. I'm holding in my hands the book, Go and Sin No More. It's the single most important book I ever wrote on holiness. Boy, I said it was just under 300 pages. It's actually just over 300 pages, but chock full of content. I give you 20 reasons not to sin. Lay out in written form a message called Acharit, the final consequences of sin and righteousness, which around the world is remembered as the most forceful message people have ever heard me bring because of the scriptural truth we unfold. We go through what the scriptures actually say about holiness and then how to live free from condemnation. We expose the perils of legalism. We lay out the way of escape. And we lay out the power of grace, and then we lay out the beauty of holiness. You can get the book. It's only recently been put back in print after being out of print for some years. You can get the book, plus the teaching series that I did on the subject of the book. So it's not an audiobook. It's a separate teaching series that deals with the contents of the book. Over 10 hours of audio teaching on a CD for your computer or MP3 player, plus the book. The combined value is well over $30. They're yours for your gift of any size. We want to get these out to you. Those who have more can help those who have less. So be as generous as you can, but everyone take advantage of this because we need these resources in our hands, in our lives. I know this will help you if you get it. So your gift of any size to make it available to all, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Let me read scripture to you, 1 Peter 1, 14-19. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Hebrews 12:10. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. Judah, verses 22 and 23, be merciful to those who doubt, snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Puritan leader William Gurnall said God would not rub so hard if it were not to fetch out the dirt that is ingrained in our natures. God loves purity so well he'd rather see a hole than a spot in his child's garments. These are all quotes, by the way, at the beginning of chapter 14, be holy. Charles Spurgeon said, conspicuous holiness ought to be the mark of the church of God. A holy church has God in the midst of her. Joey, get clip number 10 ready. I'm not going to get into this at length in this hour, but I just want to touch on it very briefly because there's a lot of attention given to comments made by the Pope over the weekend. So I want to discuss that with you as well. But I'll do that briefly and then pick up on that in the next hour. If you've missed the episodes from my TV show, Answering Your Toughest Questions, the first 32 weeks, a whole seminar, a whole series on answering Jewish objections to Jesus, never been done before on TV. You can watch the first two episodes we now have up on our YouTube channel. You say, what does it cost? Nothing. It's free. That's why we have it on TV. We want you to be blessed and helped by it. So go to AskDrBrown.org. Right on the homepage, you'll see the YouTube logo. Just click on that. It'll take you there. Also, episode 3 is re-airing at 4 o'clock today, Eastern Standard Time. So a little over an hour from now. That's DirecTV, channel 378, or live online on nrbnetwork.tv. So you can catch the rebroadcast of episode 3, and episode 4 will be coming your way on Wednesday, I believe. Or am I a week ahead? No, that's right. Episode 4 already. Listen to what the Pope had to say in an interview with reporters.
Se una persona gay,
if a person is gay and accepts the Lord and has goodwill, who am I to judge them?
Okay, what was he actually saying? As I understand the quote, this is what he was saying. He was saying that homosexual behavior is sinful, as the Catholic Church has always taught, but that homosexual desires, same-sex attraction themselves are not sinful. So what he was saying was this: if someone is committed to the Lord and willing to live a celibate life and not engage in homosexual practice, but they are same-sex attracted, who is he to judge them? He's not talking about practicing homosexuals. Now, Pope Benedict, his predecessor, it said that someone with strong homosexual desires should not be in the priesthood, and that's an excellent call, absolutely. In other words, you're going to be in an environment where you're going to be around a lot of other single men, and you're going to be exposed to altar boys and all these other things, so you've got strong homosexual attractions. You're the last person that should be a priest, obviously. Some say now that what Pope Francis has said is softening that stance and saying, sure, you're fit to be priests, I can't judge you, but still, is he assuming the best about people? Is he making a foolish assumption? Is he making a foolish assumption of you can have strong same-sex attraction and be around a bunch of other single men, old men and young men, and teens and boys, and be in that environment, and you're not going to mess up? I don't think so. Anyway, more to come. I'm sure there'll be further explanations issued. Far more disturbing is the statement by Archbishop Desmond Tutu, saying that he would rather go to hell than to a homophobic heaven, meaning serve a God that does not affirm homosexual practice. All right, take advantage of this offer. Go and sin no more. Call of Holiness, a book that we've been thrilled to hear the impact, how many lives have been changed by it. You can get the book and the audio series that goes with it for your gift of any size. It's valued at over $30 for the two, but your gift of any size, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. This is not available by phone, by internet, but only by phone. If you go to our website, we have some other special offers as well that are available by intranet only. So go to AskDrBrown.org to check that out. My bottom line today, it is time for war, not time for play. Are we fully armed spiritually to live holy lives pleasing to the Lord? It seems that everywhere you turn, sex scandals in the news, sex scandals in the church. How are we, as God's people, to respond?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, we're living in unique times. We're living, in a sense, in a massive social worldwide experiment, something that is truly unprecedented in world history. We have more things at our fingertips for good or for bad. No, you still can't download food over the internet. And yeah, you still have to ship things by truck and by boat and by train and all that stuff. But boy, there's stuff available for better or worse right at our fingertips. And it just seems as if things are getting more and more out of control, as if more and more people are messing up, as if more and more people are falling into sin, as if more and more people are getting exposed. And I want to talk about these things in a sober and constructive way with you today on The Line of Fire. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. As I mentioned in the first hour, while sitting at the airport flying back from ministry, sitting at the airport in Detroit late afternoon yesterday, and CNN News coming in through the airwaves there, I just heard story after story about this politician and that politician and sex scandal. And when I hear those things, I don't just point a finger at them and say, what's the matter with them? I say, we need to wake up and all of us need to search our hearts. I have on the phone with me a dear friend and colleague for many, many years. He's been a best-selling author. He's been a church planter and a cultural commentator, Larry Tomczak, now based in Nashville, Tennessee. Hey, Larry, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show with you, Mike.
Great to be with you, Larry. Larry, how long have you been following the Lord now?
Well, you know, July, I celebrated my 41st year in ministry, 41st year in ministry, and I've been walking with God, I think it's 43 years now, Mike.
43 years. All right, so you got saved just a little bit before I got saved, and it was not exactly a pristine and pure day then, the sexual revolution of the 60s and all the junk happening in our society, and already Kinsey planting his seeds in the late 40s, and Hugh Hefner with his seeds he's planting in the 50s with Playboy. But would you say things are decidedly different today than they were 40 years ago?
Mike, I think if somebody had been in a sleep and awakened like Rip Van Winkle and saw, you know, the culture today, how it's crumbling and melting down before our very eyes, they would be stunned. And I, as a parent, just like you, a grandparent as well, I am extremely concerned about the trajectory of our nation today, especially in terms of our spiritual and moral fiber.
All right. And Larry, I want to get into this when we come back on the other side of the break, but you wrote an article that's been getting a lot of attention just talking about TV and movies. So just real quick, 30 seconds, do you think when we hear about what's happening with Anthony Weiner, when we hear about what's happening to the mayor of San Diego, that that's just out there, or is this stuff in the church in our world too?
Well, it's in the church world, it's out in the culture, and the tragedy is people are winking or dismissing it and not seeing the importance of individuals having character, especially those that serve in leadership.
Yeah, all right, friends, I'm going to continue my discussion with Larry Tomczak, and we're going to talk specifics now. Ooh, where it hurts. Larry's article, Avoiding Raunchy Movies Doesn't Make You Legalistic, and he gives some principles how to determine whether things are appropriate for our entertainment or not. Yeah, this is where we really live, isn't it? Talk about it with Larry Tomczak when we come back.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. If you have comments, if you have thoughts concerning the day in which we're living, sexual purity in particular, 866-348-7884. This is a day in which a larger number of Americans than ever are living together outside of wedlock. Less and less Americans are getting married and on. For the first time ever in our history, most children being born, women having babies for the first time, so not just babies born in general, but women having babies for the first time, over half of them are out of wedlock. This is just normal, just normal. It's also normal that there's an almost infinite amount of material just accessible for a six-year-old who knows how to use a computer with all kinds of images and unclean things that when I was growing up as a teenager in sin, I didn't even know some of the stuff existed. Therefore, we must be especially vigilant. 866-348-7884. My guest, dear friend and colleague, Larry Tomczak. You know, Larry, it's a shame that we have to address these things in this way, but frankly, Scripture has always called us to address issues of morality and purity, and as long as human beings have been on the earth, we've messed up in these ways. It's just with technology and media making things available, we have to be more vigilant than ever before. Yet before the break, you said a lot of Christians are winking at this. You're saying in the church, people are winking at sexual immorality, winking at low standards. That's what you're seeing and experiencing.
Yeah, Mike, as I travel about like you, I'm really taken aback at how lackadaisical many Christians are, and they're, I guess, being seduced to compromise, just kind of go with the flow. You know, we don't want to be legalistic. And, you know, this was illustrated, the piece that I did, the commentary, by the fact that my wife and I recently, we went out, had an evening, had a decent movie we saw, and then in the lobby I saw a lady from church. God bless her, but I just said, hey, what are you seeing? And when she mentioned the title of the movie, you know, I didn't want to come across self-righteous or critical, but I bantered a little bit with her, and I asked her, and you know, she giggled about it. She said, well, I already bought my ticket, and nobody stands at entrance, as I told her. You know, there's a bunch of good flicks here, because I knew I had read the review about this movie. I mean, 150 F words and misusing the name of God 60 times, adultery, violence, all of this stuff. And she just thought it was nothing. So, you know, I knew it was a losing cause. I had a relationship with her. But, Mike, I think that's happened. There's a malaise. There's some kind of a glaze, I should say, that's come over people's eyes in the church. And a lot of people say, well, I don't want to be legalistic and come on, man, I'm mature and all the rest of that. But, hey, with what's going on in our culture, even video nudity, I mean, if you pick up a Billboard magazine, the number one song on there, I'm not going to even say it, features, read the article. It just says, new dancers, Justin Timberlake, new dancers, and then Hannah Montana, as she was called, you know, Miley Cyrus, she's got some rebellious, sensual song about, hey, man, let's just kind of, I forget what, I think it's called something like We Can't Stop. And it's a disgraceful display of rebellion. And how many Christians are just listening to this stuff or viewing this stuff? And we need to navigate and make sure we have some clear guidelines.
All right, Larry, what if someone says, before we get to the guidelines that you lay out, again, the article is avoiding raunchy movies doesn't make you legalistic. And Larry, a little later this afternoon, I'm going to post links to that on my Facebook page and tweet that out because it's an important article that needs to be read. But what if people say, Larry, you're not going to win the world with your puritanical sermonizing. You're not going to win the world with this type of legalistic can't do this, can't do this approach. You just got to be like the world if you're going to be able to win the world. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, Mike, I try to draw people out in a winsome way, and I try to help them see, you know, the God that we serve calls us to relationship. And when he deals in areas of sex, the reason he put limitations on the display of certain activity prior to marriage is he wants us to experience an abundant life, maximum marriage, maximum sex life. I mean, I've been married 37 years. My wife's parents are probably listening right now. 60, imagine, 60-some years. no divorce in the family. That doesn't mean anybody should feel guilty on that if they've come to Christ and have a bad, you know, experience in the past. But come on, God has a better way. And we can't wink at this and minimize it. It's all for our good that he gives us boundaries, parameters, guardrails. And if we love God and we want the best out of our experience in this world, then we need to go to the one that set up the rules. You got the rules with your physical body, your mental, emotional realm, sports, society. They're all there. And yet somehow we just think we can just dismiss God's guidelines and moral order in terms of sexuality. And when we do it, I mean, just look at the culture around us today. I mean, I just read recently, the Center for Disease Control, they said 110 million people, Mike, have venereal diseases in America today. 110 million. That's shocking. And then the abortion, 55 million. Come on, it's time. We need awakening. We need to become aware and help people say, this is not legalism and some kind of a, you know, forcing you, imposing something. It's challenging you to a better way of life.
Yeah, it is. It is the way of life. Jesus says when we come to him, we experience life. So the way we preach it today, that means you get rich and feed the flesh. No, that's not the meaning of life. And
right.
Yeah, you said it, God's ways are best. And Larry, some of the stats about teenagers with venereal disease, I read this. I can't confirm the studies myself, but I read this in several different sources that roughly 1 in 4 teenage girls in America has a sexually transmitted disease currently. And many of these will be with them for the rest of their lives. It's something that's always going to be there. It's a shocking stat, and it's pathetic, but that's what happens when we let things get out of control, isn't it?
Right, Mike. And you know what? For parents listening, I just really think it's good. Again, blow the trumpet. There's a movie that came out this weekend, and you can go on the internet to Plugged In, How to Focus on the Family, and they'll give you the review on it. And it's directed at teenagers. It's called The To-Do List. And it's about a young high school girl that wants to get ready for college. How? By systematically learning the ins and outs of every kind of imaginable, I don't know what to say, except kinky sexual activity. No holds barred. And it's a comedy, and boy, isn't this great? Isn't this fun? Gosh. Come on, teens, come and see it and learn. And yet, look at the culture. As you're saying, we quote these stats. So the church, Mike, you know this, has got to shine forth in this hour and radiate. We have a better way of life. We've got to declare it, model it, and I believe in the realm of sexuality, that's where so much of this focus is so critical today, and we've got to give people some guidelines so they'll know how to approach this.
You know, it's interesting, Larry. I was talking to Nancy, to my bride of 37 years, and we were talking about health and nutrition, and she eats unbelievably healthily. I mean, totally puts me to shame with the unbelievably nutritious way that she eats and lives. And she was saying if she ever, you know, she may give herself 3 or 4 days in the entire year to splurge and get away from her nutritarian diet, as it's called, or lifestyle. It's not a diet. But she said, you know, when you eat the bad stuff, number one, it doesn't taste that good. And number two, you immediately feel lethargic and just.
Yes.
And so it's the same thing with sin. I mean, it may have a certain appeal, but when you're used to health and freedom in Jesus, when I truly experience the love and joy of the Lord after being deeply convicted of sin for a period of weeks and months, when I experience the joy and love of the Lord, I instantly said goodbye to shooting heroin and all the other junk because God's
That's
ways
right.
are ways of life. Well, Larry, in your article,
yeah.
we've got
yeah.
a minute and a half before the break. Are you able to stay a couple more minutes or no?
Sure, I'm with you always.
Okay, great, great. So we'll pick this up on the other side of the break, and we'll get to some calls when I'm done speaking with you. Let's just go through the first couple here on your list of practical questions to help us evaluate whether we should take in certain entertainment. Number one, is it beneficial spiritually, mentally, and physically to me as a Christian? Just expand on that for a few seconds.
Well, again, spiritually, is it going to draw me closer to God? If I'm a Christian, my heart has been renewed. I'm born again. And so I don't make a good sinner anymore. I want to please God. And so you know, I should ask myself, if I don't really know or if I'm kind of assessing, evaluating a certain form of entertainment, now, is this really going to be good for me mentally? Could it give me flashbacks? Could it lead me into certain sexual activity that later on I get into and I think, well, I know where the seed was planted when I was watching, viewing that stuff. And spiritually, you know, am I going to be drawn closer to the Lord? Am I going to be able to hear his voice with greater clarity through scripture and through preaching of the word? And, you know, I just feel it's good to ask ourselves, is it beneficial?
Yeah, and Larry, that's the first question of 10, but that rules out about 99% of what a lot of people take in. All right, Larry Tomczak's article, Avoiding Raunchy Movies Doesn't Make You Legalistic. We're talking about sexual purity today on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
America needs a tidal wave of the old-time religion. America needs to be taken down to God's bathhouse and the hose turned on her. And the time isn't far distant when the wheels of God's judgment are going to go sweeping through this old God-hating world.
You know, We can sing about holiness, and I love to, and often we can sing about it and not live it, and we can hear it preached and say amen and not live it. People shout amen when you preach it, but then when you talk about how it actually works out in our own practical lives, often we miss it. 866-348-7884, as we hear about all the sexual scandals in politics and among preachers, how should we be living? Not in fear, like, oh, no, the devil's going to get me, but rather saying, if I open the door the same way, I can go down. If I play games, if I think, well, I'm different, I'm exempt, it can happen with me. My guest, Larry Tomczak, best-selling author, cultural commentator, church planter, who's been preaching a message of purity and wholeness and holiness and marital blessing for many, many years. Larry, it's a shame that we're living in the day that we're living. On the flip side, your message has never been more needed than it is today. I mean, just think of the confusion young people grow up with today. It's rough, isn't it?
Oh, Mike, you just look at what's being taught in the schools. You look at the curriculum. Just examine the culture, what's happening with videos and music and internet. It's all out war. So we need to see this. And if you're listening as a parent, that's where, in a good way, you want to be able to present the alternatives, make sure that your children are watching your example. There's a lot of parents that say things, and then the child says, but look what you're doing, and I saw what you and mommy are watching, or the computer, and what are you doing in there? You know, we really have to, you know, come forth. It's like the line of demarcation is being drawn. Whose side are you on? If you're going to serve God, get on this side, and let's go for it so that we radiate and be the bride that he's fashioning prior to his return. Plus, enjoy the abundant life, a life free of guilt, a life, you know, that is free, as Jesus told us, an abundant life. And that only comes when, out of love and obedience, we walk in a relationship with the Lord, following his word.
All right. In your article, Avoiding Raunchy Movies Doesn't Make You Legalistic, you have a list of 10 practical questions we can ask ourselves to determine whether certain entertainment is worthwhile or not. How about on your list, item number 3, will it enslave me and bring me under its power?
Right. Well, you know, Jesus, obviously, he declared freedom for us. He said, if you're my disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're truly my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We can't just say, yeah, the truth will set you free. We have to continue in his word. And when people deviate from that, there is a law of sowing and reaping. And again, God had mercy on me. May he have mercy on people out there that are involved today in scandals. But the example of Michael Wiener, this fellow running for mayor, he's been trapped. He's been caught, whether you call it addiction, trickery, you know, he's trapped in something. And then he says, okay, this is it. Oh, more's coming out. More's coming out. People in pornography, people with, you know, self-abuse, things like that, they say, well, I just did it once, cigarettes or drugs. Yeah, that's exactly what Satan tries to do. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So why not steer clear of activities? Why not guard what we put before our eyes so we don't open that door in our personal life, in our families, marriages? Let's walk free. Let's walk in an abundant life and ask ourselves these kind of questions, which I hope before we're done, maybe we could just review that little list, if that's okay.
All right, sure. Let me do it really quickly. And do you have it in front of you?
I do. I'll say it quick. How about it?
All right, go for it. Say it real quick.
Number one, ask, is it beneficial? You said that. Number two, can I do this in faith? Will it enslave me? Number three, does this glorify God? Five, is it good stewardship of my time and money? Will it dull my spirit? Can I lose my edge in God by going down these paths? Seven, will it sadden or grieve the Holy Spirit? Eight, will it edify others? Number nine, is it worth imitating? Can people follow me? And number 10, might it cause others to stumble? Those are some assessments, guidelines I trust will be helpful to the listeners today, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. Super helpful. And Larry, again, if we have to cut out all the other entertainment and end up spending more time with God, that's hardly a loss of any kind. All right, God bless. Keep up the great work, man, and may Jesus be exalted in your life and family.
Thanks, Mike. You're doing a phenomenal job.
Appreciate it, man. All right, that was Larry Tomczak. His most recent article, Avoiding Raunchy Movies Doesn't Make You Legalistic. You can read it at the charismanews.com website by clicking on Opinion, and I'll post that later on Facebook and on Twitter. All right, if you are on hold, stay there. I want to get to your calls on the other side of the break. All of my friends listening on WNIV in Atlanta, here's a shout-out, a personal shout-out from me. I am scheduled to be speaking in Atlanta Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday night, Saturday morning for leaders only, Saturday night, and Sunday morning at church at Northgate. To find out about that, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage, when you click on About, you'll find my itinerary. So that is Friday night, this coming Friday night, August 2nd, Saturday morning for leaders only, Saturday night, and Sunday morning, Church at Northgate, Pastor Mark Lawson. Also, as I was praying and thinking about the broadcast, I was asking myself, what can we put in your hands that will bless you and help you? So we want to do something and make it available to every one of you. My book, Go and Sin No More, is over 300 pages, and it's filled with scripture. It's filled with tremendous inspirational quotes from other leaders. It will strengthen you. It will encourage you. It will challenge you to go deeper in God, and it's super practical. It deals with the perils of legalism. It deals with how to live free from condemnation. You'll just find it to be tremendously helpful. I also have a teaching series with it where I got into many of the key subjects on audio tape. You can get the book and the teaching series, which is on a CD. You listen to it on your computer or MP3 player. The retail value of these is over $30. You can get them both for your gift of any size. So what helps us as we do this is those who have more help out more, and those who have less are able to take advantage of this, and then we are able to pay our radio bills and meet our ministry obligations. So this way, we can really share it freely with the body. 1-800-278-9978. This is available by phone only. Your gift of any size for the book, Go and Sin No More, Call of Holiness. It's been called the book on grace-empowered holiness. You'll find out why when you get it. 1-800-278-9978. That's together with the audio CD teaching series, Your Gift of Any Size, 1-800-278-9978. We come back. I do want to get into some comments by the Pope and by Archbishop Desmond Tutu, as well as get to your calls. In fact, I'm going to get your calls as soon as we come back. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to the line of fire. We need to talk plainly about issues in our society. We need to talk plainly about the ongoing sexual corruption of our society and therefore the call to sexual purity. Friends, if the battle intensifies, if the attack from the enemy intensifies, then we need to intensify our vigilance, do we not? If someone is coming against us, spiritually speaking, if someone is coming against us with guns and knives and we've got water pistols, we're going to lose. If we think we can just kind of sit back, be cozy, and enjoy our lovely Christianity while society rages around us and sin rages around us and sexual impurity is everywhere to be found, we are sadly deceiving ourselves. The good news is there's victory in Jesus. The good news is there is grace to overcome. The good news is we can lead obedient lives where sin is not the dominant pattern of our lives. 866-348-7884. I want to go straight to the phones, starting with Sam in Ames, Iowa. Thanks, Sam, for calling the line of fire.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
All right. I guess my question would be, to preface my question, you know, I'm not asking this question as a, you know, why can't I be impure, but more kind of wondering what the, like, at what point in the Bible does it talk about, you know, how we practice sexual purity now? Because I know that Abraham, other than Sarah, you know, he had a few concubines, and it seems that a lot of important men took multiple wives or had concubines in the Old Testament. And I know that, you know, people like to do that with the Bible. They like to point to the Bible out of context and say,
yeah,
you know, well, they did it, so why aren't you letting me do it? So I was wondering.
Oh, yeah, that's easy. It's constantly pointed to as something destructive. It almost always brings conflict with it. We constantly see that God was taking us to a higher level. Wherever we have detailed examples of polygamy, there's almost always trouble with it. It violates the initial design that God gave, which was one man and one woman for life. Jesus then reaffirms things, because we have to say as followers of Jesus that we accept the whole of Scripture. So just like we don't have laws now where we stone adulterers or where we burn a witch alive, we all agree that there were certain laws God gave to Israel at certain times, and now we have a fuller revelation of God's grace through Jesus. So Jesus teaches in Matthew 19, one man and one woman, and the two become one. That's God's ideal. Paul makes plain, if you want to be a leader, and the leaders are to be modeled, if you want to be a leader, you can only be the husband of one wife. So the clear plan of God is one man, one woman for life, and sexual purity practiced within that. In fact, when Jesus talked about things that defile, he talked about adultery and then sexual immoralities in the plural, which means all sexual acts, heterosexual, homosexual, any other kind of sexual acts outside of male-female marriage. So it's very clear. Then Jesus also taught that if we lust in our heart, then we're committing adultery in our heart, and that we have to deal ruthlessly with sin, lest sin destroy us and cost us eternal life. So if we're going to follow Scripture consistently, the standard is high. The good news is Jesus gives us a way to do it. He dies for our sins, all of our shortcomings and failures. He dies for our sins, and then he empowers us to lead a new life where we're no longer slaves to sin. So I'd start somebody in the Sermon on the Mount and say, let's see how serious you are about following Jesus. Hey, Sam, I've got a break, got to run, but thanks for bringing up a standard objection and an important one. Back with your calls and a whole lot more. Stay with us.
Flame.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire as we talk about sexual purity. 866-34-TRUTH. A friend of mine, a colleague, a leader in the body, called me today. He was just so upset. He just wanted to talk. He said, look, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, now he's been outspoken for years, pro-homosexual relations. He's retired now, but he was speaking at the launch of a UN-backed campaign to South Africa to promote, quote, gay rights. And even though same-sex relationships are legal in South Africa, according to reports, it's had some of the worst cases of, quote, homophobic violence. And he said he will never worship a, quote, homophobic God. He will rather go to hell. Quote, I would refuse to go to a homophobic heaven. No, I would say sorry. I mean, I would much rather go to the other place. I would not worship a God who is homophobic, and that's how deeply I feel about this. He says, I'm as passionate about this campaign as ever I was about apartheid. For me, it's the same, at the same level. Oh, okay, it's one thing when you have in many of these countries in Africa where people who are found to be homosexual can be assaulted and beaten or even killed. That's deplorable and that's wrong. Reports of women who are known to be lesbian gang raped by men, as if that's now going to change. I mean, those are deplorable things, and every person of conscience needs to utterly renounce that. It's another thing to say that sexual desires and romantic attractions must be sanctioned, that because certain people have deep-rooted attractions and desires, that therefore you redefine society based on that. That is moral and spiritual insanity, and it's the height of idolatry when Desmond Tutu says, I will not worship a God like that. Now, if he means a God who condones raping a lesbian, oh, okay, that's another story. God forbid. But if he means a God who says that he is against same-sex relationships and that he didn't make men to be with men and women to be with women, then he's against the God of the Bible and putting his ways, his values, higher than God. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Sheila in Homosassa, Florida. Sheila, I did not know such a place existed until you called. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you for having me. We're about an hour from north of Tampa, so
okay.
Just so you know. Anyway, my question to you is, if it is a question, what can you say to someone, like I have, actually it's my sister, very close to me, who professes to be a Christian and once walked as a Christian and then now starts to get so engrossed with herself and now had her breast implant done, and then after that starts to wear clothes that are very revealing and then starts to show off her cleavage, and how can you, like, I've rebuked her before it was done and told her it was not right and spoke to her and gave her verses of how to live a holy and pure life and didn't listen to me, but yet still think that it is all right with God.
Yeah, well, Sheila, obviously there's a difference between, let's say, someone who had surgery. Let's say they had partial mastectomy or something like that, and then they had breast reconstruction surgery or something like that. That's obviously a separate issue than someone just trying to continually enhance their looks in a sensual way. And obviously that's what you're dealing with here. The issue is she has to get closer to God. In other words, whatever's happening in her own life that is causing her to go the way of the flesh, whatever is happening in her own life that's causing her to go the way of wanting to be sensually attracting to other men. It's one thing if a woman, let's say she's a single woman and she does not want to look homely and terrible, you know what I'm saying? Okay, so do your hair and, you know, look presentable and look in a way that honors the Lord and is wholesome. But if you're going to present yourself as an object of sexual desire, the fish you're going to catch are not the kind of fish you want to spend the rest of your life with. And the issue is, obviously, she has to get in deeper contact with God. Whatever else is going on in her life, God knows. But the best thing to do is pray and fast for her in secret. Not say anything to her publicly. If she asks you an opinion, you can speak to her honestly, but do it with a broken heart, and then pray for her. You know, before I was saved, Sheila, I was hard-hearted. I was proud of my sin. I had no background in the Lord at all. I was a Jewish unbeliever shooting heroin, even stealing money from my own father, and I boasted about it. And people in a little church began to pray for me. I didn't know they were praying for me. And the Holy Spirit began to convict me of sin. In my sin, I started to feel miserable about it. I started to feel unclean. I started to feel like, you know, how do I scratch down deep enough to get that junk out of me? And then God gloriously saved me. So pray that God would deeply convict her of sin, bring her to the end of herself, and then have an encounter with the love and goodness of God. When she can find her value in Him, when she can find true love in Him, and then in Him she'll find the man that she is supposed to be married to.
She is married.
Oh, she is married.
So I thought maybe this is a midlife crisis, if there was such a one. But I think that the big deception is when you're living in this kind of life, you think everything is okay, or you're accepted, or it's okay with the Lord. So that's sharing to her, because she thinks she's blessed by God, and that God.
So she's blessed to look like this. She's gonna show it off. You know. A colleague of mine wrote an article that's been shared, multiplied thousands of times, and it asked the question as to why Christian women, why do so many born again spirit filled women show off cleavage in church? That's the title of the article.
I shared that too in my Facebook.
Yeah, yeah, and a lot of people, the moment I saw that title, I thought, all right, this is going to get read a lot, but it's a very constructive article. And then a male colleague wrote an article saying, hey, men don't want to see this either. But listen, let's try one other thing. I want to send you a free copy of my book, Go and Sin No More, all right? And when you look at it, read it, it'll give you further fuel for your fire. But perhaps, if she claims to be a follower of Jesus and she's a married woman, perhaps she'll be willing to read this book, and maybe God will use it. But by all means, pray for conviction, and that she'll really have a deeper encounter with God. So stay right there, Sheila, and we'll send you a free copy of the book, Go and Sin No More. Let's go to DeAndre in Dallas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Doing well, thank you.
I listen to your show a lot every day coming home from work. I just have a couple of questions about sexual immorality. It is a sin to masturbate, correct?
Surely.
What about when you have sexual explicit dreams?
Right. If something happens in your sleep and you're not conscious of it, and you are not consciously engaging in it, and realize that something happened. Actually, in Scripture, it deals with it in Levitical laws that this happens to someone in the nighttime, and they just have to wash and be cleansed. What I would do is pray before I went to sleep and meditate on Scripture before I went to sleep, and then ask myself what kind of stuff I'm feeding myself, you know, that may be feeding into the dreams. But if I'm seeking to live before the Lord and please Him and honor Him, and I realize that I had a sexually explicit dream, I would realize I did not consciously make that choice. I'd probably feel unclean. I'd just ask the Lord to wash me from it, but then I'd move on with life. But I would ask why I've put certain things into my head, into my heart, into my mind. Now, the question about masturbation is simply that in order for someone to engage in that, they have to allow wrong thinking into their minds. In other words, they have to allow lustful thinking into their minds, and there has to be a certain lack of self-control. That being said, it's not something that Scripture majors on. What it majors on is the condition of our hearts. And if the condition of our hearts, in terms of our thought life and discipline, if that's right, then that'll work its way out in every other area of life. But if something happens at night and you realize you wake up with all these unclean thoughts, you've had an unclean dream or things accompanying it in your dream, like I said, look at what you're feeding yourself during the day. Make sure that you're not taking junk in willfully. Meditate on the word before you fall asleep. Commune with the Lord. And if these things happen, just get freshly washed in his presence and move on without feeling condemned. In fact, stay there. I also want to send you a copy of my book, Go and Sin No More.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Just want to comment on one thing again quickly. 866-348-7884. Just want to mention this quickly. The Pope made comments saying, who is he to judge? In fact, Joey, can we just replay that quote? Who is he to judge someone who's gay? And a lot of people are saying, well, you got retired Archbishop Desmond Tutu said he'd rather go to hell than to a homophobic heaven. Now you've got the Pope saying he's not going to judge gays. Here's the quote as it was shared with reporters. This is what he said.
Si una persona gay.
If a person is gay and accepts the Lord and has good will, who am I to judge them?
All right. In context, as I understand it, what he was saying was homosexual behavior is wrong. The Catholic Church has not changed its views on that. But same-sex attractions in themselves are not sin. The Catholic Church has looked at that as being fundamentally disordered. But to have same-sex attraction is not sin. To act on it would be sin. So I understood his point to be, if someone is celibate and seeking to please the Lord and they have same-sex attraction, who am I to judge them? And even say if they want to serve in the church, that's fine. Is he saying more than that? Is he modifying what Pope Benedict said, that someone with strong homosexual desires should not serve in the priesthood? I'm sure in the coming days we'll get clarification on that. But if the Pope said, who am I to judge someone for being gay? And if he wants to practice homosexuality, so be it. Then all the more does he disqualify himself and the Catholic Church from being taken seriously. I just don't think that's what he's saying. I don't think that's what he's saying based on his other strong statements, especially in recent days. All right. 866-348-7884 to the phones with Karen in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I want to make four very quick points. One of them is if we are going to be holy, as God has instructed us to be, we are going to look like weirdos to the rest of the world. And in fact, maybe even to some people who are saying they're Christians, and I can't see their hearts, and maybe they are, but we may even look like weirdos to them if we're going to live holy lives. Number two, I don't listen to current secular music. I was in Kohl's department store a few days ago looking for a belt for my son. The music that was coming in over the intercom, the song that was being played, I felt was obscene because it was a young man saying, I want to make you want it. He kept saying it over and over again. It was like the chorus to the song, I want to make you want it. And I consider that obscene. And I think about the young people who are listening to that song. The young girls and the young boys, and what that's doing to their minds, they're going to act that out, and then they can get an abortion. That's the remedy that the world has for society.
Yeah, and Karen, let me just jump in before we get back to you. You know, some of the strongest pro-abortion voices now are young men. They're pushing, we're absolutely standing with women. Why? Because they don't want any consequences of their sexual actions. So
exactly.
So it's a further war on women and a further using of women. So absolutely, no problem whatsoever. You engage in all kinds of one-night stands and immorality and do whatever you want, and then throw away the consequences and go on merrily with your life as if you could actually do that.
Dr. Brown, imagine trying to concentrate and shop for your teenage son when that phone's on the air. And I know that if I went to complain to someone, their eyes would glaze over. Why is that? Because they're like the frog in the pot. They have become desensitized to the obvious. Or it's shocking for me because I haven't been tuned into secular current secular music. For them, it's like no big deal. And so, anyway, that's all I had to say. I mean, I just don't know that anybody would even get it if you complained.
Yeah, and I remember, as you said it, I distinctly remembered being in Pensacola, Florida, in a convenience store, going in there to get a bottle of water or a candy bar. So I just walked in there, and I heard one of these, I guess it was, you know, rap song with lyrics, whatever. The lyrics were really clear and very repetitive. And I thought, what? You know, sometimes you're not even listening. You're just, and it, being a drummer myself, musician, I could just be hearing music and not even listening to the words. It's like, what? And I don't know if he was wanting to undress, but it was like, it was explicit.
Right.
It was, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. But I remember the moment when it happened. I thought, what in the world? And it just, but that's the picture, just out there, and to the point of desensitizing. You're absolutely right.
Well, Dr. Brown, doesn't your heart break for these young people who are being brainwashed with all of this? It just makes me so sad for them. No wonder their suicide rate is so high, because it's such a superficial, shallow thing that they're living in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And because God didn't just make us to be brute, sensual animals and give ourselves to the lust and desires of the flesh, there is a degrading that comes with it, not to mention all the side effects and consequences. Was there more on your 4 points that you wanted to make?
No, I think that's everything. Thanks for listening.
All right. Well, Karen, what we've got to do is pray with broken hearts for awakening in the church that will touch the culture, and then we have to live it out. We have to model ourselves in a way that is winsome, in a way that people look at us and say, that's what marriage should be. That's really the path to true joy. That's the path to real lifelong satisfaction. You have a purpose and destiny because God's ways always work best. But thank you for the call and for sharing the pain of your heart. 100% right. 100% right. And we've got to be merciful to the younger generation while we hold up standards of truth, just recognizing how many come from broken homes, how many have been raised in an environment of constant moral pollution, how many have just seen hypocrisy and shallowness in the church, because of which they don't know which way to turn, but they do know what feels good for the moment. May God awaken us, friends. We need some guidelines. We need some principles. We need some equipping. I don't want to leave you in the dark. Many of you listening do not have my book, Go and Sin No More, Call to Holiness. It's been described as a book of grace-empowered holiness. Bill Bright graciously said about the book, it's one of those rare life-changing books. I actually called it magnificent, which was very humbling to hear. It lays out practically how to overcome sin, the strongholds of sin in our lives. It exposes legalism. It talks about the power of grace, chock full of powerful quotes, illustrations, and full of scripture. The book plus an audio series where I taught in this for over 10 hours. The book and the audio series, you listen to it on your MP3 player computer, together, over $30 value, yours for your gift of any size. We want to get this to as many as possible. So those who can help with an extra gift, do it to those who have little so that everyone can take advantage of this. Please get it. Your gift of any size, you'll get the book and the CD, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Also right now, DirecTV, channel 378, we'll be doing a repeat of our Answering Your Toughest Questions TV broadcast. My bottom line today, don't play with sin. Don't cater to sin. Don't cut it back. Cut it out.